Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Hope Church. It is good to see all of you here. It's good to have those of you who are on Zoom with us this morning. We are about to begin our worship service, so if you're still back in the family room, fellowshipping, having coffee, talking with one another, whatever it might be, we encourage you to come on up and join us as we worship God together.
Soul from death and save me from the pit. The passions of my hopes and fear maintain a doubtful strife. For sorrow, pain, and sin conspire to take away my life. I know my days are in your hands, though I'm drawn near to dust. You are the God in whom I trust. You are my refuge. Lift up your voice and sing aloud. And praise Him, all you saints. How wondrous is His grace. He is our refuge.
Most beloved face to shine upon me now. Save me for your mercy's sake, for I am lost without. While in my haste I'm quick to say, where is your help for me? You attend me when I'm praying, you have heard my plea. I know my days are in your hands, though I draw near to dust. You are the God in whom I trust. You are my refuge. Lift up your voice and sing aloud, and praise Him, all you saints. How wondrous is His grace. He is our refuge. Draw near to dust. You are the God in whom I trust. You are my refuge. Lift up your voice and sing aloud, and praise Him, all you saints. How wondrous is His grace. He is our refuge. I know my days are in your hands, though I draw near to dust. You are the God in whom I trust. You are my refuge. So lift up your voice and sing aloud, and praise Him, all you saints. How wondrous is His grace. He is our refuge.
With us, if you will, for our call to worship, Psalm 119, 1-3. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Let us raise our voices to praise the Lord.
Thank you.
check the bad and the good. Let every great man on him rely. Though guilty as sorrow, Jonah, Korah. Free grace has paid for all my sins.
Alabamos, Padre, y exaltamos tu nombre, Señor. Todo nuestro ser y toda nuestra alma declara y confiesa, Señor, la grandeza de tu nombre. Y te adoramos por quien tú eres y por lo que estás haciendo, Señor. Recibe toda la gloria y la honra en el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
God, his wrath forbear, me the chief of sinners spare. I have long withstood his grace, long provoked into his face, would not hearken to his call, grieved him by a thousand.
Our second scripture reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time.
Grateful that we could be here together and that your spirit binds us together as one body. And Father, we just pray for Tom and the words that you've given him to pass along to us. And I just pray that it takes root in each of our hearts in the way that you need it to and you want it to, and that we take it into the week and the following weeks and live it out. In your name, amen.
Guten Morgen. No, I'm sorry. That's wrong. Give it a shot. I was going, what other language do I know? I know. Good morning. Dobre utro. There you go. See? Russian. I took 2 years of Russian in college. I don't remember anything but what I just said to you. So, which is good morning. I got that right, right? All right. Buenos dias. It's good to see all of you this morning. Bienvenidos a Hope Church. It's bueno verde a todos esta mañana. I think I just said it is good to see you this morning. It is good to see you this morning. My name is Darden Kaler. I am one of the pastors. I'm the associate pastor here at Hope Church. And I'm here to talk to you just a little bit about what's going on at Hope Church throughout the week, because the life of the believer is not just about what we do on Sundays, but what we do throughout the week, each and every day, 365 days a year. And so we want you to know what's going on. There's a number of things. First off, if you're visiting with us or if you have a prayer request, there's this nifty card in your bulletin, and if you don't have a bulletin, they're at the back by Scott, who's standing at the doors. And you can fill it out and just let us know what your prayer request is. We'd love to be praying for you. If you have specific requests, that'd be great. Or if you're visiting with us, we'd love to just know that you were here so that we can pray for you as well and do that as well. So, also, we've got some other things going on. Women's Book Study will be having a fun night. Can I come? I guess it says Women's Book Study. I can't come in. We'll be having a fun night. I'm going out to see a movie, Inside Out 2, which I hear is good. My wife loved the first one. My daughter loved the first one. I think my wife loved the first one more than my daughter. But still, I think it is a good movie. I've heard, so I encourage you to do that. If you're interested, you can see Pebby, who's sitting right here in row number 3. And she will have more information for you. Officer nomination packets are still available in the back, and they are due August 11th, which is next Sunday. So you have 7 days to get those in, and we would appreciate it if you have anybody who you think might be a good deacon or elder here at Hope Church. Spanish-speaking services meeting weekly at 7:30 here on Saturday evenings. I think you're still meeting in the back, right, in family room? Library, yeah. Follow Miguel, yeah. Miguel's over. Raise your hand, Miguel. The Saturday service. Oh, yeah. That's in the family room. So if you have questions about that, you can see Miguel over there, and he will let you know more about it. It says Hope for Kids is looking for volunteers. What I want to say is, if you have a gift that you feel like you're not using yet here at Hope Church, or you don't know where you want to plug in, but you want to plug in, come see me. I will make sure you get plugged in. I promise you, I'll get you plugged into the right place. You can tell me what it is you like to do, what it is you feel God has gifted you to do, and we'll get you plugged in. But particularly, children's ministry, we always have room for the little ones, room for adults to be with the little ones, so if you're interested in that as well. And then, let me see, Bible study at the Flisses, the starting today, right? So that is 27023 Trinity Point. Please let Jack and Yolanda know that you are coming, and the phone number is in the bulletin. If you're planning on going, you'll need to get the gate code from them. So, with that, I will invite Tom forward.
Good morning. Welcome to Hope. I'm Pastor Tom. It's good to have you with us. Rose, welcome home. You love attention, don't you? Yeah, she just loves having everybody looking at her. Yeah, but it's great to see you back. Yeah. How you feeling? All right. Good. How many months of recovery from surgery, foot surgery? Since April 17th? I don't know. I don't do math, so that's just several. Yeah. You got the math? Okay. 4 months. Plus, something like that. Anyway, good to have you home. All right. Missed you last week. If you want to say anything about Blueprint, your Blueprint experience, you can do that. No, not right now? Okay. All right, bashful. You know, if I was going to, like, pin you as one of the seven dwarves, I don't think bashful would have been it. But maybe today. Just leave you alone. Okay. Fair enough. I am Pastor Tom. It's good to have you with us as we worship God here today. I don't know who else to bug. Anybody else want to be picked on? Anyone? All right. I didn't hear that, so. All right. Well, why don't we just have all of the important people come down to the front at this time. If you are in fifth grade or younger, you are invited down for our children's chat this morning before you go to Hope for Kids. Good morning. How are y'all doing? Well, we got 3. Good morning. How are you, Carolina? All right. Let's see. I got a question for you. Where does fruit come from? It comes from God. That's always a good answer at the children's chat. Who made the plants and the trees that produce? What are you supposed to do with fruit? Eat it. I mean, you could juggle it, I guess.
Yeah, there's also fruit that is named
dates. Yes, there's dates.
Yeah, and it makes...
Oh, yeah, if you eat too many, that gets ugly. Yeah, we won't talk about that. Okay, so fruit grows on plants, usually trees, but not always. There's some, like, you know what a dewberry is? No? Okay. It grows on, like, a bush. And then grapes, they grow on vines. But fruit grows on plants. And what are you supposed to do with it?
Eat it.
And when you eat fruit, what does that do for you? Makes you healthier and helps you to nobody? What does fruit do for you when you eat it? Makes you healthier and helps you grow. Very good. All right, we got there. So did you know that God is making fruit in you? He wants you to grow fruit so that other people can be nourished by the love that they see in you, and they can be strengthened. It can help them grow spiritually. So the same way that we grow physically by eating fruit, God says we can grow spiritually by producing the fruit that helps other people grow spiritually. You ready? Do you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? All right, you're going to repeat after me. Love, joy, all right, peace. So what do we have so far? Love, joy, peace, patience. All right. No, anger is not one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's one of the fruits of marriage, but it's not one of the fruits of the Spirit. See what I did there? So I don't know where my wife is, but I think we may have just picked that fruit. I don't know. Okay. Where was I? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. I think that's it. I think that's good. What? Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's one called self-control. I'm not very good at that one. But I can say that I've helped my wife gain a lot of patience over the 30-plus years of our marriage. I'm good at that one, or producing that one in her, maybe. Okay, let's do it again. What's the first one?
Joy.
Right before joy. Love. Love. That's the most important one, right? We want to love. We want to have joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. So God wants you to grow in such a way that you produce those things in your life so that you're more loving, more joyful, more patient, more kind, more gentle. You get the idea? All right? And then other people around you can taste of that fruit, and they can grow because of you, because you're bearing fruit in your life spiritually. All right. And Mario's losing a battle to what? All right. So how about we pray? That sound good? All right. Dear God, we thank you that you are at work growing in us the fruit that you want to see us bear in the world. Help us, Lord, to show more love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more goodness, more faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in our lives so that you may be glorified. We thank you that you love us, that you sent your Son a sacrifice for our sins, and that through him we have hope eternal. We pray your blessing over these kids, and as they spend more time in your word and hope for kids, fill them with your Spirit and lead them to develop, produce the fruit that you want to see in their lives. Your blessing over them and their teachers, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Y'all have a great time and Hope for Kids. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and there's some other one in there. I don't know what that is. What? Oh, she's here. Hello, beautiful. How you doing? Did you hear my confession earlier? Oh, good. All right. All right. All right. We are beginning a new sermon series in the month of August. This one, we are looking at those things in ourselves that lurk under the surface that stand in the way of our progress, our growth as Christians. And this week, we're going to start with, well, swimming with sharks. Is it up there already? Okay, you got him. All right. I do not recommend swimming with great white sharks, by the way. Even if you have a cage, it seems like a bad idea still. I'm just saying. Those people are crazy. No, there are sharks. There are nurse sharks. There's nurse sharks on my shirt. You can swim with nurse sharks all day long. No problem. We're going to look this morning at a passage out of the book of Galatians where Paul is talking about this very thing, about things that bite and things that threaten and what God wants to cultivate in our hearts such that we get past these things that lurk under the surface that threaten us as Christians. And so I'm going to read a passage from Galatians in English. Alfredo's going to come forward and read it in Spanish for me when I'm done. And okay. ¿En inglés primero o en español? Inglés. Okay. Mejor terminar con la idioma del cielo.
Right.
Sí. Absolutely. Okay. Guardar lo mejor para el final.
Yeah.
Galatians 5, starting in verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires.
Leemos Gálatas 5 a partir del versículo 13 al 24. Porque vosotros, hermanos, a libertad fuisteis llamados. Solo que no uséis la libertad como pretexto para la carne, sino servíos por amor los unos a los otros. Porque toda la ley en una palabra se cumple en el precepto: amarás a tu prójimo como a ti mismo. Pero si os mordéis y os devoráis unos a otros, tened cuidado, no sea que consumáis unos a otros. Digo pues, andad por el Espíritu y no cumpliréis el deseo de la carne. porque el deseo de la carne es contra el espíritu, y el del espíritu es contra la carne. Pues estos se oponen el uno al otro, de manera que no podéis hacer lo que deseáis. Pero si sois guiados por el espíritu, no estáis bajo la ley. Ahora bien, las obras de la carne son evidentes, las cuales son inmoralidad, impureza, sensualidad, idolatría, hechicería, enemistades, pleitos, celos, enojos, rivalidades, disensiones, sectarismos, envidias, borracheras, orgías y cosas semejantes, contra las cuales os advierto, como ya os lo he dicho antes, que los que practican tales cosas no heredarán el reino de Dios. Mas el fruto del Espíritu es amor, gozo, paz, paciencia, benignidad, bondad, fidelidad, mansedumbre, dominio propio. Contra tales cosas no hay ley. Pues los que son de Cristo Jesús han crucificado la carne con sus pasiones y deseos.
Excelente. Es un buen español. Gracias, hermano. So, picture yourself at the beach. And let's go to a good beach. Yeah, where there's clear water, white sand, some waves, and it's just spectacular. So you're in Cuba, basically. Yeah, you're not in Texas. And there you are, and what do you want to do? You want to get in. You want at least, even if you're not a swimmer, you want to wade into that water. Feel it, be in it, kind of just disappear. Let that that gravity thing take a break for a little while. And as you approach the water, now what are you thinking? What's in there? Right? What's in there? What's on the bottom? What's just past the point where I can't see? What are the critters that might have an impact on how much I enjoy this time? And of course, at the top of that list, everyone's greatest fear in the ocean, I think I'm on something here. Sharks. Jellyfish. That's actually in this series. Jellyfish is in the series. We've got it coming. Yeah. Yeah, but there could be a stingray on the bottom, or the ones I hate are those little sea urchin things. They're just there to hurt you. That's their only purpose in life. They got just all these spines everywhere. But there are things in the ocean that don't want us there, right? And they can hurt. So it's a great metaphor for life in general. So you see someone you love, you want to get closer, she wants to get closer, but then what do you fear? She's going to bite, or rejection, any of the things that will cause us pain, that will make us realize maybe they don't want us here. And so there's kind of the metaphor. There's these things that are attractive and compelling, and then there's the risks, right? And this is the stuff of life, and our faith is no exception to this. We are called into a living relationship with a living God who loves us and wants us to express his love to the world, but as soon as we step out into the world, where'd the shark go? You don't have to put it back up there. But, right, things bite. And so we're going to look this morning at this passage from Galatians chapter 5 as sort of a lens through which we can begin an exploration of these things that hold us back in our faith. And just as a little bit of preface, I'll tell you what the Apostle Paul is doing in this passage. He's writing to a church that he had been part of starting, and then he left it in the hands of a younger pastor. And this younger pastor started teaching the church that if you want to be godly, you have to start following all the laws in the Old Testament. And there's a significant, what do we call this, roadblock to propagating the Jewish faith in the context of Galatia, Greek culture, Greek Greco-Roman culture. And that is that Old Testament law requires certain things to be done, in particular to a man's body, that no convert is going to want to do. And so Paul is writing back to this church, and he's like, oy vey, what got into y'all? Like, now you're having people go through these Jewish rites and rituals. I thought I told you that Christ died in fulfillment of all of that to free you from the burden of adhering to the Old Testament law to enjoy his fulfillment of God's righteousness for yourself, and you are now free. And so it is in this unrolling of his viewpoint of freedom that we get to the passage that we have today, where he repeats himself and says, for you were called to freedom, not to be bound to obey the Old Testament laws, but into the freedom of the gospel. Here's the basic premise. Jesus was not only Jewish, he was completely faithful to the Old Testament law as a Jew. He was perfect, sinless, in his fulfillment of all the righteous requirements of the law. So when he lays down his life on the cross for you, you're covered, you're free. All of the fulfillment components of the law have been fulfilled in Christ. And so you are then free. Yay, bacon. That's good, right? And so this is the basic premise that Paul is trying to reset this church with and say, I'm not sure where you went wrong. Actually, he's very sure where they went wrong, and he talks about it quite a bit. But he says, let me just kind of get you back to the center of what we're talking about here. This is about a relationship with God. It's about grace. It's about freedom. It's about love. So dive in. You don't have to, you're not obligated to follow all of these ritual laws anymore. Ten Commandments still apply, but how you dress, what you eat, what you do to your body, etc., as a component of ritual practice, you're free. You're free. So dive in. Enjoy this new basis for relationship with God. Enjoy the water. You have freedom. And Paul puts the correct limit on freedom here. He says your freedom doesn't mean you can go do whatever you want. You can go live like a pagan and say you're a Christian. No, no. Your behavior, like Ten Commandments still apply. Your behavior should reflect what's going on in your heart. You should be able to live in such a way that others can see that you've been transformed by the saving grace of Christ. But enjoy the water. You're free. Swim in the freedom of God's grace. This is a gift that Jesus has established for you. So don't be so serious. You can smile at church. It's okay. Even though we're Presbyterian, you can still smile in church. It's okay. Relax, swim in the freedom of God's grace, and ultimately help others, those around you, to be able to soak in God's love. This is the basic ethic of how we should be as Christians. We should be enjoying the freedom of God's grace, and we should be helpful to the people around us in their capacity to enjoy God's grace. But while we enjoy the water, watch out for the sharks. They're out there, right? And Paul says, this is immediately where he turns in this flow of thought, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. He's essentially saying, people bite. We are not all the way to the point we should be in our spiritual growth, our emotional maturity, and all these aspects of our humanity. We're not there yet. And so, life, you will get bit. But get in the water, enjoy the grace, the freedom, the love, but be cautious. And when you are bit, don't bite back. Don't start a feeding frenzy. Because that is only going to devour others who will in turn devour you, and it's a downward spiral. You can see where that's going. And Paul says, look, it's real. Life is real. It hurts. There's pain. But don't be part of the problem. And we'll talk about that in a little while. But most of all, dive in. This is a beautiful place of grace, of love, of sunlight, of joy, of freedom. Dive in. But be aware, there are things that bite out there. Don't let that stop you from diving in, but be aware. And don't be part of the feeding frenzy. Don't bite back. Diving in to the freedom and grace and love of our Savior is a call to swim with the current of the Holy Spirit. This is essentially where Paul goes next, and he talks about this battle that is inside of us, just under the surface, between the law and the Spirit. And here's what he means. So if you're trying to adhere to all of the Old Testament laws, dietary, ritual, practice, moral, all of them, then you are constantly comparing yourself to a standard, to a fixed standard. And if you have a bad day, you know you don't measure up. You're like, here's the standard. Here's how well I did today. Uh-oh. That feeds feelings like pressure, shame, disappointment, inadequacy. All of these components of our humanity are fed by this comparison system. And Paul is saying, don't live that way. Don't live that way. What you want is to live in concert, in harmony with the Holy Spirit, such that you're not in a comparison game. And when you fail, go back to the cross, return to the grace, the forgiveness that are in Christ, and get back on your feet and dive back in. So let's look at this as, for the sake of the metaphor, you're in a boat now, and you're on the top of the water, you're in the open ocean, and you're going up and down, you're getting tossed around. And the rougher the weather, the worse it is. And this is exactly what it's like living with the law as your comparison. You're up, you're down, you're sideways, you're afraid you're going to capsize, there's all these fears and anxieties and insecurities. And Paul says, stop. Stop getting tossed about by these waves of comparison between the law and your behavior. Stop that and dive below your surface desires. So, I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to go scuba diving before, but I think you'll be able to understand this if whether you have or you haven't. So I'm not great on boats on the open ocean. That up and down, side to side does things to me that end badly. Okay? You with me? Like, I need the Dramamine. Let's just put it that way. And so when you're in a dive boat and you're motoring out to where you're going to go enjoy God's creation, there's the motion, there's the tossing, there's the and there's the need for Dramamine, and then there's Tom over the back of the boat doing his thing, attracting fish. But when you get to the dive site, you put your gear on, you kind of fall backwards over the side, and you're in the water, and as soon as you take the air out of your little life vest thingy, it's called a BC, you start sinking, and as soon as you're below the surface, about 6 to 8 feet down, the waves stop. Everything's still. There might be a little current. That's good. But you're not going up and down anymore. Now, if you do it right, you descend to the depth you want to dive to, and you let the current kind of take you along over the landscape of what you want to see. And it's relatively effortless if your dive master set it all up right. Otherwise, you're flailing around in panic, and that's no fun for anyone. So, but this idea that we can get below the surface where all the turmoil is and sort of exist for a little while in the peace and the harmony of moving with the movement of the Holy Spirit. This is the sweet spot in life. This is where God wants us, is swimming in harmony with His Spirit, where we're no longer in this turmoil of conflict with others and comparison to the standards, etc. You're forgiven, you're free, and you're called to just let the Spirit move you where God wants you to be. That's the idea. That we can actually, even in a bad day, a bad week, a bad month, or a bad year, still find those places where we are in harmony with the Spirit of God. And then Paul effectively says, stop chumming the water. Stop making situations worse by your behavior. So I meant to ask Hope Kaler if I could share this. It's not really about you, it's about me, so you're okay. But Hope, her freshman year of college, lived in our house in my one of my daughter's bedrooms, who was also in college somewhere else. And her parents hadn't moved to San Antonio yet, and Hope was staying at our house. And so she had the privilege and the blessing of seeing Kathy and I interact on any given day. It's almost always in the kitchen. Miguel Jr. knows exactly what I'm talking about. And so Kathy would say something, and I would usually provide the loving, caring, snarky, sarcastic remark that any good husband would give, right? And you could see Hope holding her head in her hands, and she would occasionally go, Tom, stop. Just stop talking. You were fine. You had the high ground. You are careening over the cliff to the low ground, buddy. Stop talking. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I let my emotions get the better of me, and I get, I don't know, upset over nothing. You get the idea, right? And Paul gives us a very thorough list of these things that we do that move us out of harmony with the gospel, out of the current of the Holy Spirit. The list is exhaustive. I don't feel the need to read it all again, but I mean, find your thing, right? Okay, there it is, fits of anger. Okay, I'm done. I don't need to read any further. There's all these components of our lower selves that are just printed right there in black and white in God's word for us to go, ouch, I don't want to be that. And God is telling you that he's calling you out of all these things that attract the sharks, that attract the negativity, and brings out the worst in others. And he says, there's a different way for you to live. Stop chumming the water. Tom, stop talking. Like, how many times did you say that to me? Several? Yeah, several. We'll just leave it at that. God wants us to be better than our first impulse. And I can just tell you my first impulse is rarely healthy, just for whatever that's worth. And then in verse 21, Paul turns the corner a little bit. And he says, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's very Pauline. This is Paul talking. He's a little harsh. He can be very black and white. That's okay. We need that, especially when we're in these patterns of unhealthy behavior. We need someone to say, hey, stop. That's not healthy. And what Paul does is he takes at the end of that passage, so he goes through this litany of horrible human behavior. At the very end, he contrasts that with the kingdom of God. He says, that's what you need to be acting consistently with, is the ethics, the values, the behaviors of life in God's kingdom. So that what you do in relation to others is actually helpful to yourself and to them, to realizing the grace, the love, the peace, the joy, all of it, that it comes with being in God's kingdom. And so he throws this contrast and basically says, focus on the prize, not the problem. And I get so focused on whatever it is that's upset me, that's right in front of me, that I can completely lose focus of who I am in Christ. And I just want to bring about my own sense of justice to the situation in front of me. And God says, look up. Look beyond all of this insanity that you're a part of and see what I want for you. And if you can't articulate it, well, I'll do it for you. So we dive in, we swim, we try to swim with the current of God's Spirit, and then God calls us to clean up the beach. He wants us to take out the trash, verse 24. And I'm gonna deal with verse 24 first and then 22 and 23 next. But those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So those things that we obsess over in this world that don't really matter in eternity, God says, give it to Christ. He has taken the penalty for all of that. There's the list in verse 19 and 20 and 21. It's a long list. He's taken the consequences for all of your guilt in all of these arenas on the cross. You're forgiven. You're free. You're loved. And so he says to you, give your sin to Christ. Just give it to him. Let it go. What you're so upset about here will not matter in eternity. And so there we go. called to live by a new standard. Verse 24 tells us we belong to Christ, and we are to seek what brings Him satisfaction and joy and peace and affection. So there's the contrast, right? We can live out of our lesser selves and start these feeding frenzies with others in our lives. Or we can take a step back, give it all to Jesus, and say, Lord, how can I be part of bringing about more of your stuff here on earth to bring out the fruit of the Spirit? To be, well, what's fruit for? Anyone? Nourishment, right? So that we can live in such a way that the people around us are nourished spiritually. They can see what forgiveness looks like. They can see what patience looks like. They can see something of the nature of God through how we relate to others. And so we are to bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. More love, more joy, more peace. More faithfulness. Is that the next one? What's the next one? Kindness, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. It is in there. And gentleness and self-control. These are the things that help the people around us grow closer to God. These are the things God is trying to cultivate in our hearts such that we bear more of them in our lives and we can be a source of nourishment to others and maybe, maybe reduce the level of stress in this insane world for the people around us, that we can love more effectively, forgive more fully. And can I just emphasize one word? Joy. Your faith should produce joy in your life. Joy is transcendent, meaning you can have the worst day of your year and still have joy in the midst of it. This is because of what God has done for you in Christ, that He fulfilled all of the righteous requirements of the law, and He laid them down on the cross that we can be forgiven and free. And there, in that truth, we can have joy. Well, we can have all of these fruits, but I just wanted to emphasize that one. Will you pray with me? God, our Father, we confess to you that we need more of your Spirit guiding our lives. We need to follow you more fully. We need to listen to that quiet voice that you are speaking to us through, that we might bear more of the fruit of your Spirit in our lives, that those around us might be more at peace, might be more nourished spiritually as a result of our interactions with them. And Lord, as we come to your table this morning, we thank you that it is to the cross you call us to return when we get too focused on ourselves, on the petty aspects of our lives that we get so caught up in. Lord, we lay that all down at the foot of your cross. We pray that you would help us to look up and see the love, the forgiveness, and the grace eternal that are ours through your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that you would set aside these elements that we are about to receive from their common use. Use them for the renewal of our faith today. Nourish our souls through this activity of coming to your table. fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to live more and more the way that you have called us to live through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray all these things in his holy and precious name. Amen. We come this morning to the Lord's table, and I want to remind you that this is not Hope Church's table. It is the table of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is open to all of those for whom he has died for the forgiveness of their sins. And so when you are ready, you are invited to come forward and to partake of this table, to be reminded of how profoundly God loves you, that his grace is eternal, that his table is set before you not just now, but forever. So I'm going to read these words that the Apostle Paul gave to the church in Corinth, and I'm inviting you to let these words give shape to your approach to the Lord's table today. And once you have heard these words, you will be welcome to come forward and partake. You can take one of our gluten-free wafers out of the small cup, and then either wine or grape juice out of the larger cup, and just put them in the wooden bucket when you're done. And we'll take it from there. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. And of course, the whole point of this table is that all of God's judgment and wrath against the sins of his children were taken by Christ on the cross, lifted from you, taken by him. And you, in place, are given forgiveness and grace and freedom and love and life eternal. When you are ready, come forward and partake. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard, speaking to me like a trumpet, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had been in the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. Seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning 7 torches of fire, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. and around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature like a lion, the second like an ox, the third with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped.
Yes. encarnó, la plenitud de Dios llevó, su don de rectitud y amor, su propio pueblo rechazó, mas en la cruz cuando murió, la ira de Dios propició, pues mi pecado él cargó, y por su muerte vivo yo.
Stand and let's sing one last song together. Raise our voices up and praise Jesus as we prepare to go out into the world.
From death and saved me from
draw near to dust. You are the God in whom I trust. You are my refuge. Lift up your voice and sing aloud and praise Him, all you saints. How wondrous is His grace. He is our refuge.
Organ.
It's actually mellow organ.
Mellow organ. Yeah. Can you just give me a little chord? Oh, yeah.
we should have her end every song with amen.
I feel like I'm in the 60s or something. Yeah. And Lee, isn't it great to have all these young people up here leading worship?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I should be up there.
You should. I need to give you info on our youth group. We'll be meeting soon.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Love to have you there. All right. So, you have to go now. Well, you don't have to go home. You just can't stay here. That's the old line, right? Well, you can. But that's the world out there. It's not always fun or pretty or easy. There's people who bite. You have been called to take with you from this place that which shapes who you are in that place. To know that when you go from here into the rest of your week, you go with God's blessing and His peace so that you can live differently, not be part of the feeding frenzy, but rather part of the solution. You can keep your eyes on that eternal promise and help lift your eyes from the problem in front of you. So will you take these words of blessing, ancient though they are, and may they be fresh and alive and at work within you throughout the week ahead. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. May you go in His peace.